Welcome to the Autonomic Healing Podcast. I'm Tom Pels.
And I'm Ruth Lawrenson. We'll be unpacking what it looks like to activate your brain to holistically manage stress and trauma that bring healing to the mind, body, and spirit.
Being free to live authentically as humans.
Thank you for joining us. Let's get this conversation started. Tom, today we're talking about love.
Ooh, that's a loaded one.
that hot topic of love. But, you know, in all of its forms. And but it's in this, in our series of ABCs of Thriving. And this is what it's all about. And I know that people, you know, they either love or hate love, so to speak. But we know that it's a massive part of thriving. So do you want to describe the actual topic that we're on an L, obviously. Yep. But how are we going to just have a conversation about this?
Love is not just about thriving. Love gets enmeshed and entwined in surviving. It's love. Just to define, to get some conceptualization of love,
yeah.
The way I think about it is love is a strong attraction to, an attachment to, something or someone. Mm-hmm. Attraction to, and attachment to.
That's such a great way of putting it.
That's love.
Yeah, it really, because when I think through, you know, the people or, you know, even pets and all sorts of things in my life, you know, I feel like that's such a helpful framework to think, okay, it's a strong attraction and attachment to a particular person.
Yes. How that relates to survive and thrive is that oftentimes love gets compromised and co-opted into surviving. Mm-hmm. We sense or perceive a threat to well-being. And we look to love to address that. Hmm. But that doesn't make it healthy or functional. It's a survival thing then.
Mm-hmm. Can you just share the topic of what we're doing? What's the whole topic?
Love to give life.
And I think that's why that's so key, Tom, because, you know, when it's in survival mode, I think it isn't life. It is not giving life.
Please, I want to be alive.
And it's sucking life sometimes, you know.
Oh,
it's like
it
so needy. It's actually trying to get love out of any place that will give it.
Person, you know? Place, or thing. Mm-hmm. There's a reason that there is even a phrase. For the root of all kinds of evil is the love of money.
Mm-hmm. What? So that's a thing.
Love and a thing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
By which some, by their craving, see that attraction, that attachment to, were led astray from healthy relationship. Mm-hmm. We did an episode on the types of love, and one of those was friendship and phileo. And the particular phrase here for the root, like the roots of a tree, mm-hmm. and using money just as an example of a maladaptive coping response, that can be money, it can be status, it can be power. It can be
work.
A substance,
yeah.
It mm-hmm. can be work, it can be all sorts of things, but it's a maladaptive way to try to cope in order to survive. And for the root of all manner of things that are detrimental and harmful is the friendship with money.
Wow. It's a really different way of seeing it, isn't it? Like when you put it in that phrase,
mm-hmm.
in that phrase, it says, you know, I think sometimes I've heard that phrase before. The love of money, you know, is the root of all evil.
Yes.
But when you think about it, the friendship with money, it seems like a little bit more sinister, doesn't it? It's like
bizarre and weird. Like, I've got a friendship with my credit card.
Yeah.
Or the bills in my wallet, mm-hmm. which is kind of passe because who carries cash anymore? Yeah. Some people do. The whole point of it is that it's not the root of all evil.
Mm-hmm.
It's the root of all kinds of things that harm. To be friends with objects and money?
Yeah.
But just substitute that for all sorts of other maladaptive ways that we cope. Which,
well, I think it's people's houses.
Substances,
or,
it can be their position, their house, their car, all sorts of stuff. And that gives me significance.
And I guess
that's my friend.
Yeah. And I guess all of those things are okay in their right place. But when it becomes that friendship with.
When it becomes a craving.
Mm-hmm.
When it becomes a friendship with. So one of the things that I was thinking would be very helpful when we're talking about love to give life. That's thriving. That's a reason. That's a motivation. That's a purpose. That's a direction. That's an intentionality.
Yeah, and I think there's something about, and I think we talked about this we've talked about love a few times, I think, mm-hmm. through the episodes. And I remember that particular one on the different types of love, which is so good and so important to try and understand as a human, you know, just to think, oh, okay, there are different types of love and they all can be, mm-hmm. can be incredibly life-giving.
Which is why there's all kinds of different ones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think that there's something about love that in this way where it is a force, right? It's not just mm-hmm. like something we feel. It's not just something for us. We're participating in this cyclic force that can be incredibly good and bringing life. And gives life. Yeah. And so I think those are it's like, how do we be aligned with that? Because when we're aligned with it in that way, then we're thriving.
Yes.
Right?
Otherwise, love is a way to try to survive. But it doesn't actually give life. It takes it.
And so much of our world's like that, actually. You know, it's really about us, and it's about, you know, people have their, you know, their requirements of what they want in life and what they need in life. Mm-hmm. And all of those things are fine and good, but actually the starting point of love is to give. It's about giving to another, not getting something.
To give is to receive.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
If you're only giving and not receiving, at some point you don't have anything to give. I didn't receive, so I'm out. Or if it's all about receiving and not giving, at some point, it's just nauseating.
So are we talking about, this just popped into my head, but are mm-hmm. we talking about that spectrum again of like narcissists and people pleasers? Because in some ways,
those are extremes.
The impaired egos actually can distort love from one end of the spectrum to the other, you know, whether people pleaser is the, you know, trying to give too much and never be in a place of receiving, and the narcissist obviously opposite.
It's all about taking.
Yeah. So what we're talking about here is having a healthy ego.
Yeah.
Right. Where we are able to connect with another or person or thing or.
And that the purpose and the means and the expression of love is to give life.
Mm.
That's the point, I think. So a little exercise
yeah.
that our listeners might do, and this might seem counterintuitive to listening to a podcast, but in a moment, I'd literally like you to not listen. I'd like you to stop listening to the podcast to do something. And then please listen again if it's beneficial. But love to give life. So try this exercise. Get out a document or a piece of paper and pencil, old school, whatever. Answer the question, what do I love? And the what may be a who, but it's what do I love? And then just don't edit. Just let your brain populate your awareness with these things. And it could be people, it could be activities, it could be things, it could be whatever, but just let it do that. Mm-hmm. And then after you've done that, what do I love? Then the next question is, what do I actually prioritize with my time and resources? So compare the list of what do I love with what do I actually prioritize with my time and resources? Mm-hmm. And then the third question is, what do I love that gives life? It's an interesting exercise.
Yeah.
So what do I love? What do I actually prioritize with my time and resources? And then what do I love that gives life? I've done this exercise with some folks. And sometimes they get to the last one and all the stuff from the other ones just isn't there. Hmm. The things that they love, they don't prioritize with their time and resources. And a lot of the things that they love just don't give life.
Wow.
Work.
It's really,
how life-giving really... is living your life for work or possessions or even people. Mm. How life-giving isn't necessarily life-giving. We get to choose that. We get to be intentional about that because that's about thriving. The other tends to be about surviving. So love to give life.
And, you know, you can maybe press pause right now and go and do it right now, or you can, you know, maybe do it later, but it is a really great exercise. We did it just earlier, mm-hmm. didn't we?
Yeah.
And just
kind very of, revealing.
It is revealing. And I think it does show... okay, like, well, why am I drawn? Like, why there are some areas, some things, some people that you think, why am I drawn to that? Why am I doing that? And then there'll be other people or things on your list that you think, oh my gosh, yeah, that's the reason why they're on there. Mm-hmm. And maybe there's an adjustment there and they are life-giving. I know certainly on my list, I'm sure on everyone's list are our children, you know, and just it. With your kids, it's such a helpful one to bring up, I think, because it is so, there's a natural love that happens with a parent and child, and it is so life-giving, yes.
And for some, doesn't happen, mm-hmm. because they never attach to themselves, and then they can't attach to their children.
Yeah.
That's a real thing.
Yeah.
So that may be. The whole point in the exercise is to identify, what do I love?
Yeah.
And if these are things that I love, what do I actually prioritize in terms of my time and resources? Because they're finite. And is it about those things that I love? And then looking next... what do I love that gives life?
So let's talk about that third question, Tom, because I think that's the one.
It's the money one.
It is.
And I actually see what I was doing there?
No.
That's the money one.
I do think that, you know, probably people have thought about the first two, who do I love? And then where am I putting my time and energy? Mm-hmm. You know, it's, I remember writing my personal mission statement of my life, and it was all about that type of stuff of like, who do I want to invest in, and how do I do that? But I think that third question is really important, because I wonder whether, I'm just curious here whether a lot of our listeners might not know even how to answer that question. Because do we even know what, you know, give life looks like? You know, like, what does that even, what is that? And like, how do we assess our list from that question?
Yes.
Can you unpack that a little bit more?
Sure. Because fundamentally, a lot of human interaction in societies isn't even about that. And it's not even wanted. Because what do I love that gives life? It may not be things. Things don't give life. But what's that going to do to economies and marketing and all sorts of stuff? Simplicity? Less possessions? And people are out of work. It's all sorts of things that are at stake. But it doesn't mean that there can't be productivity. There certainly can. Investment? Sure. All sorts of different things. But the purpose of it, what is the effect of it? And we get to choose that for ourselves. Others may or may not. The majority may or may not. But the point is, I get to choose for me. You get to choose for you. What do I love that gives life? Because we get to choose what we love. Therapy may be about, why do I love that to start with?
Yeah.
And how has that impacted my life? But the point is, it's helpful to just ask the question, what do I love that gives life? And the reason that that's the phrase, rather the question, rather than what do I love that doesn't give life, is because that's not relevant then.
I wonder, from what you're saying, I think it makes me think, you know, this is about wisdom, isn't it? Because there's we have love.
Oh, we do.
We naturally do. We have love in us. But also wisdom says that there's only so much of that to give out in a human life. To give out well, to give out in a way that gives life.
Yes.
And so I think that there is a selection there to be thinking through, you know, and I wonder whether, you know, people find themselves in all sorts of space. Maybe there's probably to do with their seemingly rational perceptions.
Inevitably.
But, you know, some people, maybe they just kind of spread themselves too thin, and they're just like, they're giving their love out too far. And so actually it doesn't impact any one of those things well enough. You know, others, maybe they're just like, you know, giving their love in all the wrong places. And actually they're loving things that aren't giving life, that actually are detrimental. And so I think we all have these different perceptions. We have our different hurdles, I think, when it comes to our own stories and trauma and stress. But at the end of the day, we have this one life to live, and we have this like force within us that is a beautiful, empowering, potentially life-giving thing in us. And it's, there's this reckoning question that we need to answer, which is, where are we giving that love? Because the answer to that will determine how impactful our lives will be. And so I does that make sense? I'm just kind of trying to relay what I've got from you so far, but I feel like, oh, this makes sense. This is about, you know, asking some hard questions here of like, you know, is the love that I'm giving out, Is it going to the right places?
Is it going to beneficial places?
Yes.
Or is it detrimental? The point in approaching it this way, when it relates to thriving, is if love to give life isn't operational, isn't something I live, isn't impacting the choices that I make moment by moment, day to day, and I'm either looking for love in all the wrong places, and remember, love, a strong attraction to and attachment to. What am I attracted to and what am I attached to? Is money a friend? It doesn't even make sense. That how can a possession, an object, be a friend? But that's real.
Yeah.
A substance can be that.
Mm-hmm. And Tom, there's two things that I feel like feel quite apparent to me anyhow in this conversation about the giving life to. Mm-hmm. So, you know, think about the things that the places or the people or the things that you're going to love that will give life to. For me, the one thing that really stands out when I think about giving life to mm-hmm. or life, you know, is that it's very present. It's grounded. Mm, yes. It's in the now. It's not in the future. And I think there's something about the love of money or a thing like that mm-hmm. or a house
or a substance or a possession.
All of those things that they seem to actually, what happens is a love of something in the future. And most of the time what happens is when you actually get there, you're not in love with it anyhow.
Right, you know? Because it's so disappointing. Yeah. It's like, this was supposed to make me feel really great, except why is this so empty?
And I think
because there's no life in it.
And that's why it's detrimental. But if we can kind of align with our love in the giving life to, that has got to be a present space. That has got to be a... Yep. When I think about life, I think about breath. It's like, it really is in the breathing of the day to day and the loving in the day to day, in the now, in these moments that we have, like whether it's doing a podcast like this or later on when I pick up my kids, or, you know, these are the moments I have now where I can love in a life-giving way. But the other thing as well, not only is it present, but there's something about giving life to, for me, that feels like the legacy of it is like even literally giving life to, giving birth to a human being, it has legacy. It means that it will surpass your own generation. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? And so I wonder Absolutely. About whether there's something about love that when we choose to love in the places that where we can give life to things, not only is it marked by being very, very present, but it's marked by this kind of, it has a force that goes beyond just the immediate impact, but actually goes right through generations. Like I think about you, and I know you're a new grandfather right now. And I just know from all of our conversations over these years, how much you have loved your kids. And I know you're going to love this little grandbaby too. Yeah, of course. Yeah, you are. Do. But I think...
Besotted by it. Yes.
But I just think about the investment, the way you have loved your kids, the way you do love your kids, the way you are loving your grandbaby now, it will have an impact in hundreds of years' time, I think, in their kids, you know? So... does that make sense? Like, I think it's not contained by... So I wonder whether, like, things like the love of money, it's so temporary. It doesn't go anywhere. It's like, it might, like, give you a superficial sense of happiness, but it doesn't have the power that love has to ground us in the present and literally kind of propel impact all the way through goodness knows how many generations. That love will carry, you know? Does that make sense?
It does. And that's why it inevitably leads to that last question. Who do I love that gives life? And how can I do that? See, because a what, that can be person, place, or thing. But when you get through the what do I love and what I actually prioritize with my time and resources, what do I love that gives life? Who do I love that gives life? And how can I love those who are in my life in a way that gives life? That's the point. That's thriving.
Yeah.
Anything else is just surviving, I think.
I love that, Tom. So much to think about there on love. And I love this series because, you know, it's really helping us stay in that space of thriving rather than surviving. Yeah.
We don't have to just survive. We get to choose. We can thrive.
And it's all about who we're loving in a way that gives life.
Yep. You've been listening to the Autonomic Healing Podcast.
Join us next time as we continue in our conversations with Tom. If you're interested in pursuing your own autonomic healing journey and want to find a practitioner, visit our website, innerworkings.org. See you at the next episode.